Got to go out and get this book, American Sniper. I mean, there's been two of the SEAL books out with people not really involved at all in the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. They're both bestsellers. I got to think American Sniper will be. It's the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history. That's just a fact. It's also a fact that Chris Kyle's in studio right now, along with one of his co-authors, Jim DeFelice. Jim, how did you decide that Chris's story had to be told? Because fundamentally, they like living in the shadows.
Brian, I have to say that I've been privileged and honored to do a lot of stories, work with a lot of people. I talked to Chris for 5 minutes, and I said to myself, I'm going to write this story for free. I mean, the man, he is the real thing. He's a real American hero. But his story is just so incredible, and yet he is just like a regular guy. Admittedly, he's from Texas, but, you know, you make a little adjustment there. It's just a story that just had to be told. And it's not only about him, but it's about his brother SEALs. It's about Marines and Army soldiers and some Air Force people who served with him in some of the worst places in the world at the time. And it's also about his family. And, you know, in some ways there's so much action and so much adventure and so much blood in the book, and yet some parts of the book are a love story because his wife is in the book, and really some heartfelt moments. It's just everything. I would have written this for free.
And your wife just said, I've had it, right? You got to get out. 3 years ago, just said, hey, listen, Chris, you got to stop.
She told me I had to decide. It's continue following my dream, or she needed to have a good father figure for my son.
Right. So you're home and you're a dad. You still look like you're cut from iron, but you're doing so, and you seem like you have a great career going using your skills you learned. But in the actual operation and the surge, where were you, and how valuable were your skills? How bad were your skills needed in the field?
Oh, that was the most sought after job during the surge because we were so worried about collateral damage that snipers were just being pulled from everywhere and sent overseas because we needed them everywhere. You take one shot and you kill a bad guy and you don't have to worry about damaging a storefront or tearing up a house.
Right. And the way you look at it, and I agree, is that every time you took out an insurgent, that's one more American that's going to live, not be maimed, not be wounded. How many, what is your total?
Yeah, it's over 150.
Over what period?
Over my career.
Over your career. And that got you as a very wanted man, didn't it?
It did. In 06, they finally decided to put a bounty on my head.
The insurgents?
Yes, they did.
Because they couldn't find you. What is that like?
At the time, it was a big boost to my ego.
You like that?
Well, it made me feel like, you know what, I'm doing my job. I'm having an effect on the war.
Right. Jim, a lot of people don't even understand what really took place there. Not only were they working it militarily and urban fighting, but they also had to use their communication skills to let those know that, hey, Al-Qaeda in Iraq is not really the life that you want. There's an alternative.
Absolutely. Obviously, the people that that Chris was with and Chris was protecting, they were actually fighting the war. They were the fist. But at the same time, a lot of other other American soldiers and servicemen, service people, were presenting another way that you can live. And I think a lot of Iraqis agreed with that. They were the silent majority.
What emerges about Chris Kyle as you did his book and got these stories out of him? How would you describe him?
I think that what you see, obviously, the first thing that you see is a warrior. But as you as you read the book, hopefully a fuller picture will come out. You'll see a family man, and you'll see someone that really, really loves America and has what I would consider extremely good traditional values and values that I hope that we can all emulate.
Right. Chris, you're proud of what you accomplished, right? But you were also an extremely patriotic person through it all. Do you sense that the Iraqis understand the sacrifice guys like you've made and even the American taxpayer in terms of actual dollars? Do you sense that the majority understand what actually we did for them, you did for them?
I do. I think the majority of Iraq definitely wanted us there, and they didn't want to see us go. It's a silent majority. You have boisterous minority who are over there making themselves be heard, and they want us out of there.
Does evil exist in your mind?
Oh, definitely.
What was evidence of that?
I mean, I started calling these people savages, and it was not just because, you know, not Iraqis. These people that we were over there fighting, the things they would do, I mean, they would sacrifice children just to kill one service member. The way that, you know, the beheadings and the way they would treat anyone else surrounding them. I mean, they would rape women and children, including the little boys, just to get their point across, to put fear in the hearts of the Iraqis so they wouldn't rise up against them. That's not humanity.
Right, and it's a whole different feeling of what you're dealing with. Some people say, if you fight them here, if you fight them there, you don't have to fight them here. Do you sense they want to fight here?
Oh, they definitely want to fight here. I mean, they want to fight us. Whether they're going to come here or not, I don't know. I mean, I know they're definitely already over here. I mean, they're coming across the southern border every day. I mean, you can, if you got friends in the Border Patrol, or you can look on the websites. There's definitely, I forget what they call the illegal aliens that mm-hmm. aren't from Mexico, but they actually have a term for them that is Middle Eastern descent.
Yeah, I don't know why there seems to be a feeling that we shouldn't talk about that. But that's been happening more and more. They go into South America, Central America, Latin America, and they'll come across. But, Chris, back to your story for a second. Now that you're out, are you worried that we pulled out of Iraq too quick?
The way we're pulling out definitely was too quick. I don't like the immediate withdrawal. We're setting guys up to where they're not going to have the support, and we're going to leave them hanging. And you can already see the upswing in the violence over there right now.
Do you worry about those who said, I believe in America, I will be an interpreter for you guys, help you out logistically, and help win people over, that we just seem to have left behind?
Well, it's not just them I'm worried about. It's our guys that are over there still. I mean, we can never completely pull out. You have an embassy there. Anytime you have an embassy, the Marines are going to be there. So now we're leaving Marines behind.
And your reaction, I asked you this on TV, to the fact that the Vice President of the United States said, the Taliban, they're not our enemy. You know guys that fight in Afghanistan. Wasn't your brother there in Afghanistan?
No, my brother fought in Iraq.
In Iraq. What do you say to that?
It's treason.
There is an enemy. It's the Taliban. They think they're the enemy. We don't want to acknowledge that.
Definitely. I mean, they voice it. They are the enemy.
The American Sniper is an awesome book, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. Chris Kyle, Jim DeFelice, thanks for coming in and telling your story.
Thank you.
All right, and you can get it on killmetofriends.com. Make it a great day, everyone.